Hey, this is Keith Wallen, and you're listening to The Itch.
This is your number one station, your official station.
You're listening to The Itch. My name is Casey.
My name is Dan.
My name is Aaron, and I did not think about what itch we were scratching, so I'm going to make it up right now in the moment. We're scratching the itch to run it back. That's what we're doing this time.
Running it back.
Yeah, we've got a repeat guest, a guy coming on for the second time. And that is one Keith Wallen, who you may know from Breaking Benjamin, or you may know from his solo stuff, which we've now had two opportunities to speak with him about.
Yeah, we're definitely excited about this one, as you know, obviously as much as the last one, but this one, you know, I feel almost with every album, every artist, they kind of mature and they find their sound, they kind of find their lane. And I do feel like he's definitely finding his lane as a solo artist.
Yeah. With our last interview, it was kind of funny because we were talking about his solo stuff, but it had been almost a year since he'd released it. This one, however, we got to hear super early and it still won't come out until May. So
that's right. We saw Keith on the boat on Shipwrecked and spoke with him like the week after we got back, a few days after we got back. The album, as Casey mentioned, it's called Infinity Now, and it comes out May 3rd on Rise Records. We were going to hold on to this episode and put it out at album release time, but it just felt weird to hang on to an episode from February all the way to May.
Yeah.
So we're putting it out now, and we want to get a little shine in advance of this. And, you know, if you follow us on the socials, you will see Keith Wallen content again when this album comes out. We will be sharing and hyping that release up.
I'm really glad that we're pushing this episode out because we ran across him a lot when we were on Shipwrecked, and he is the nicest guy. He will always make time to talk to you and, you know, take pictures and stuff. So, you know, I was really glad that we got a chance to talk to him right after Shipwrecked. And, you know, so a lot of this conversation is kind of about that experience.
He's very much a person who displays gratitude, which I think is a super valuable trait for a healthy human being. At the beginning of our interview, and I remember he did the same thing the first time, you know, multiple times he would just say, you know, thank you, basically for caring, you know, for caring about my music and what I do and enough to invite me on here. And I appreciate when artists do that, and we thank them as well for what they do for us.
That's always surprising to me because it's like, you're welcome. You, honestly, for taking the time out of your day.
Right. That's exactly how I feel. But, you know, and we talked about it before, even when you're part of a big rock band, branching out on your own and doing solo stuff, it's still hard to gain traction. And so every bit of kind of word spreading that you can get is still going to help.
Yeah, not everybody is Maynard that has like a side project, like a Perfect Circle that just has instant hits right off the bat.
Well, and Keith has said in both interviews that we've done is that he wants to create as much music as he can while he can for as long as he can. And he's succeeding.
One of my favorite things, too, about this interview is I love hearing how artists come up with, you know, the stories and the inspiration behind their songs. And man, he has some very interesting stories and inspirations.
Yeah. I'm going to leave it at that, but that definitely was, I will say, the most interesting part of the conversation.
Yes.
I loved hearing about that. It was awesome. So hope you guys get to enjoy that too.
And though the album doesn't come out until May, Keith did release a new single called The Wolf. It is out now that you can check out, and we highly recommend doing that. And he will also be out and about traversing the U.S. He'll be supporting Through Fire, basically up until album release time. And then after that, he's going to stay busy. He'll be around throughout the summer. So wherever you're at, you know, keithwallen.com, you can probably find a place near you that he's coming if that's your thing.
Yeah. So he's already released three singles off this album. He released Strings, and then he released Headspace Holiday while we were on the ship. And who knows? He'll probably release one or two more before the album comes out.
And I will note, he mentioned in this conversation that some of the new songs stretched him and were more of a challenge vocally than things he'd done before. I will note, from having seen him on Shipwrecked and performing some of these new tracks, that they hit really well. The new songs hit. In my opinion, they were the standouts of his live set, which bodes well for, you know, future live sets.
I agree.
Yeah, I agree.
Well, we were excited to chat with Keith again, and hopefully we'll get to chat with him again because he's just such an awesome guy to talk with. So without any further ado, here's our conversation with Keith Wallin.
All right, we're here with multi-time Shiprock survivor, Breaking Benjamin guitarist, all-around nice guy, and a man who now has two Itch interviews and two solo albums to his name, and that is one Keith Wallin. So Keith, hey man, welcome back to the show. It's great to have you back.
Howdy, howdy. Oh man, so stoked to be here, so stoked to have survived yet another Shiprocked. Yeah man, I'm a... What an intro, by the way. I sound like such a seasoned pro.
That's the idea. We didn't even get into all of the other... We talked about this in the first interview. I recommend people checking that out. We didn't even mention all the other songwriting credits and people you've worked with, probably many more since the last time we spoke. I think seasoned is a fair word.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you know, or we could just say old. Let's, you know, hey. Why beat around the bush, man? Come on.
I was going to go with busy. Yeah, that's a man who uses his time well.
So. I figured we get to the hard pressing question right off the bat. So which is more of an achievement, two Itch interviews or two solo albums?
I think they are neck and neck.
that's what I want to hear. Well, I also got asked, so how many times have you survived Shiprock? Is this just two or am I missing more?
So I did it once with Breaking Ben. I think we were there on 2017. And we did another cruise called Axes and Anchors the year before that. So, yeah, cool. Three Shiprocks, four cruises total, and a partridge in a pear tree.
Nice.
Hopefully there'll be some more voyages in the future because, I mean, I love it, man. It's such a cool thing. Shiprocked especially. I feel like they have it so dialed every year, and the company that puts that on, Ask For, all the people that work there for those guys and Shiprocked, I mean, just world class. I can't recommend it enough to anybody that's on the fence and thinking about, you know, doing a cruise, especially just like a rock cruise like Shiprocked. It is a blast, and I mean, I'm sure you guys can attest, there's nothing like it. I mean, it is
nothing.
It is
great. No.
Kind of curious knowing that you have been on other rock cruises. So how do other, because I've actually talked about like looking into them and seeing, but like you said, the Shiprocked with the lineup, the personnel, like it's just nothing seems to top it. So in your opinion, like how does Shiprock compare to the other previous cruise that you guys did?
Yeah, I mean, I only have one other one to compare it to. And I mean, and it was great, not to knock the other one at all. I mean, that was my first cruise experience. Period. You know, it's kind of a similar kind of format, right? You know, you got bands on a boat, they're scheduled to play, there's little excursions, you stop off places. So for the first time, you know, doing that, I was just kind of in awe. I was like, this is my first cruise. This is amazing. This is so cool. They did a great job too, but you know, the last few times that I've done the cruise has been Shiprocked, and the more and more just, I appreciate just working with those guys, you know, being invited to come and play as an artist and really just being taken care of. It's great. And more so this as well, this is another kind of a differentiating factor there with the cruises is the community, the Shiprocked. Mm-hmm. It's a family really. I mean, it really is, those guys on the boat, all of them, you know, I hear from them all the time throughout the year, and they're so supportive of my music. You know, they'll be at other festivals at, you know, like Incarceration, all kinds of different things. And they're all kind of like getting together and taking pictures, you know, the Shiprock crew, it's just a cool thing. And, you know, we need more of that kind of thing. And just in the world, just in music in general, I feel like it's just great. it's just a great thing.
Yeah. And I agree with what you said about, you know, a lot of people should try and do it, but it's kind of funny. You can kind of tell the people that don't really like the vibe of the boat or the vibe of the people always surrounding you. But you're definitely an outgoing person that thrives in that environment. So kudos to you to do it.
I appreciate it.
Yeah.
It's funny. I don't think of myself as outgoing. I don't know. Maybe in my advanced years, maybe I've become outgoing. But yeah, I feel like, I don't know. It's just cool. You know, I think I definitely know what you're talking about. I feel like maybe some artists or maybe they feel like there's nowhere to go and they can't really escape. But,
yeah,
you know, I think that really, you know, sets Shiprocked apart where, you know, you're on the boat with all these fans and all these people. Everybody there is all on the same kind of mind frame, is that like, hey, we're all here to enjoy music and to enjoy this experience. And everyone is very just polite. I feel like they don't ever over, you know, step any bounds or cross any lines or anything. I feel like they're very cognizant of the fact that, hey, you know, we're on this boat with different artists and, you know, they're very respectful. So I think that to me, that's what really has made it just amazing, is just how great the people are. And, you know, you gotta be kind of, you know, down for that too. You gotta know kind of what to expect, you know, you be in the middle of a bite, like, hey, Keith, can I, like, sure, you know, I
mean, right.
Of course, you know, it's, you know, I saw many of people at the soft serve stand over and over again, you know, so
all day.
Yeah. Oh, I miss that too.
The soft serve and the pizza stand.
Oh,
all day, every day. Oh, but yeah. I want to make sure we do have plenty of time to get to your new album is about to come out, called Infinity Now. But I want to stick on this topic a little bit, because obviously we were just on this boat together last week, and yeah, Shiprocked has been a major point of conversation for us. This is actually a follow-up to our episode recapping it. So to continue that thread a little bit, I want to get into a couple of the kind of questions we were curious about as goers to an artist about their experience. One, the famous story of this particular cruise was the crazy day in Jamaica. And I know that one of the big deals was a lot of shows got canceled or rescheduled because bands were split between being on the boat and being stranded on the island for a number of hours.
Sure.
I'm curious of what your experience with that was, because I know you had at least one band member who was on shore.
I did. Yeah, it obviously, you know, look, there's no accounting for acts of God and acts
right.
of nature. You know, so I think from the very first day, you know, there was a little rainy. There was a little bit of weather to deal with. Obviously, when we got to Jamaica, there are high winds. You know, the boat is such a huge surface area to be caught by, you know, it's just a giant solid sail, you know. So, you know, I think that was a difficult thing, you know, and there was some issues there. And, you know, people were on the island. Some people were kind of still on the boat. I was one of the ones that was still on the boat. And, you know, it was a little rocky. It was definitely definitely feel the motion of the ocean, let's say.
Yeah,
right. Yeah, you're with me at the pool. We watched it slosh back and forth.
Yeah, it was like this. Yeah, it was wild. You know, I can't give enough credit to both Carnival and Ask For the Shiprock people for kind of handling that. You know, granted, I was on the boat. I think there was some stuff that kind of happened on the island that was kind of maybe a little dodgy and not as satisfactory as people might expect.
Less
and,
pleasant. Yeah.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. You know, hey, it's a different country. There's different things. There's all kinds of different scenarios there. So
different KFC.
There's, yeah, I heard about that too. But you know, as far as like, you know, the scheduling, that had to be such a nightmare to try and reschedule bands that, you know, whatever had to be canceled. And, you know, like I said, with the weather, just to start off, like with the rain, you know, there'd be bands playing on the deck and it would just start pouring on them and they'd have to just pull them, you know. So it's like, you don't want to just be like, well, hey, you know, hell yeah, I saw so-and-so. They played four great songs. And that's the band that I came to the cruise to see, you know? So I think they did a great job trying their best to reschedule and move things around, you know, because that had to be such a nightmare. I mean, it's hard enough keeping, you know, my own schedule or your own schedule, like, oh, I'm going to go see this band. And then that changes and you're like, good Lord. So on the band side of things, it was hard too. And obviously I was doing the Stowaways too, and there was rehearsals scheduled. So then the rehearsals were moving around, and then it was like, oh, we have the show. And then I had my own shows. So they did a good job of making sure that, you know, everybody had their set time and their replacement time and really had a chance to perform. Cause you know, once that stuff kind of happened on the boat, I was like, am I even going to play? You know, I didn't know what to expect. So really major kudos and props to them, to just, you know, trying to keep everybody safe and get the schedule going. And, you know, once we got through that, it was like, boom, we're back to normal, baby. The weather cleared up, bands all played, and it was awesome. So,
yeah. Real quickly, we wanted to commend you on your Stowaways performances. And also, we were thrilled because we are really well connected to Eva. And so when you did a song with her, that made us really happy to see that. So
I appreciate it. Yeah, that was a fun one. Don't Fear the Reaper. Yeah.
Yeah.
Lots of cowbells.
Yes.
Oh, you were wilding out on those cowbells.
Yes.
I mean, finally, I was like, give me that thing. God.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was fun.
It was a good time for sure.
Yeah.
For those who aren't aware, just a little extra context here. Keith is in a unique position on this cruise. What you usually have is performers as well as stowaways, where performers usually being the whole act and a stowaway being usually like a member of a band. Keith was actually both, had his own solo sets as well as performing with the stowaway set. So that's kind of you got to double dip a lot. It's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was fun. And back to what you were saying, Eva Under Fire, those guys are awesome. And she is amazing. It's funny, you know, when you're on the boat, you kind of run into the same people. And then other times you just don't even see another person that you might think that, you know, they're on the boat, but you never see them. It was like that with me and them. I would see them all the time. And me and Amanda, you know, if we'd just be like, oh my gosh, here we are. Oh, cool. Let's, you know, have a seat. Let's eat, you know? So
it gave
us a chance to kind of talk over, you know, how we were going to sing the song too. So it worked out great.
Yeah.
The last thing I really wanted to touch base on with Shiprocked is that, you know, this year was a completely different experience for you. Last year, you kind of played like a solo, like acoustic atrium set. This year, you had your band, you were able to play the deck, you're able to play the theater. And so I wanted to kind of ask you, what was that experience like especially being able to play your new songs? Because by the way, they sounded great hearing them live. I was super excited about that. But so what was that experience like being able to not only play with your band, but also to get to play the new stuff?
Man, it really was, you know, and I think I said this on the microphone, it really was a dream. It was a dream come true, honestly. I mean, I think since I've been coming to Shiprock, you know, you look at that stage on the top of the boat and you're just like, man, that'd be so cool to play that. But yeah, last year they had me and I mean, it was an honor to be included on Shiprock as a solo artist and apart from Breaking Ben. Not only just as a stowaway, but as my own, you know, my own entity as an artist.
Yeah.
So, which was super just important for me and really, really amazing. So to go from the atrium and then to come back with my full band was something I was really, really super excited for. And then obviously, you know, playing the deck stage in the theater. I mean, it was a thrill and having my band with me and it just coinciding with, you know, having some of these new songs be coming out and the album coming out. It's been amazing. You know, the new ones are really fun to play. They're hard to play. I will say that. You go in the studio and you record this stuff and you're just like, yeah, I'm going to push the envelope here. And then when it comes down to like rehearsing it and thinking, oh shit, I have to do this every night. Potentially I fucked myself. It's not.
You say good. These new songs are harder in that regard than from your previous album.
I think there's some things that's harder to sing for sure.
Okay.
But then again, you know, there were some songs on my first album where I was like, why did I do this? This is so, but I just, and then I got used to singing them. So maybe I just got to get used to them.
There you go.
Yeah. I think I'll learn where to breathe and all that stuff. But yeah, that was a long form answer to your question.
No.
It was absolutely thrilling. That's the short version. It was amazing.
Yeah. Also, quick shout out to your bass player, who we saw him and his family constantly on the boat, who was the winner of the final bingo game. That was a big deal.
I heard about that. Yeah. Yeah. I was like, dude, that's great. I was like, now I don't have to pay you. That's great.
Yeah. He took home his own payday on the ship.
No, Lou is an amazing musician, an absolutely great amazing bass player, a great producer, writer. He's got a studio down in Florida where he lives, Fish Tank Recordings, and he does a lot of work with some different artists, and an amazing vocalist too. Just a really great musician and a great person to have a part of all this. So yeah, shout out to Luke.
For sure.
Yeah.
It was great hearing the new songs. One of the new songs that definitely stood out for me was Strings, and also your single Headspace. And I was just really excited to hear those live and just get them. Yeah, they were great. Because we got a chance to listen to the album beforehand, and those definitely were the songs that stuck out. And so I was really curious how they would convert to live, and they sounded great.
I appreciate it.
So even if they're that hard to play, you still did a phenomenal job.
Sweet, I love hearing that because that shit's hard.
I saw both sets and both sets were great. So
thank you.
Yeah. And I made a point to catch up with you after the deck set, because the last track on the album, which I know hasn't been released yet and probably won't until the album is released. But Dear Father, when we're listening through it the first time, that one really got me, because the day before it was my dad's 65th birthday, and he passed away about 18 years ago. And so when I heard that track, I listened to that track like five, six times. So great job with that. So, yeah.
I appreciate that, man. I'm so sorry to hear that. Yeah, I lost my father, 1999. So it's been a while, like yourself, you know, it's been a minute. I kind of shied away from kind of talking about it or writing anything about it. But I feel like on this album, I kind of opened myself up a little bit more and just really kind of talked about some things that I wouldn't want to talk about. And I think that, you know, what better way to, you know, really just, you know, find therapy than through music. And also there's a story kind of, that kind of relates to this as well. So this was maybe 2015. I had an experience with ayahuasca, which if you're not familiar, it's kind of a psychedelic drug that is usually taken in the Amazon. People will go down there and they will do these kind of ceremonies with a shaman, and you take this drug and it's DMT, and it's supposed to be very therapeutic and just helps you deal with all kinds of different, you know, addiction, trauma, all kinds of benefits. Again, I'm not a doctor, so disclaimer.
But this is an anecdote, not an endorsement so far.
Exactly. And so this was something I was really curious about, and I had the opportunity to kind of try it. And man, I saw all kinds of things. I mean, I saw the very first thing I saw was a wolf face. Just like right in my face, the very first thing. I mean, literally 5 minutes into this thing, you know, I closed my eyes and just, you know, I was like, okay, I don't see any, I don't know if I'm feeling anything. And then I closed my eyes again, and there was just a giant yellow eyeball, and it slowly like panned back, and it was like a wolf's face just looking at me. So I was like, holy shit, this stuff's wild. So it was definitely a journey. But how this relates to Dear Father, you know, there's some lines in that song, you know, a silhouette through time and space. That is a specific thing and something that I experienced when I was in that kind of cosmic trip that I was experiencing. You know, I saw this at some point, I saw this just light, you know, and there's like this flash in front of this light. And I know it sounds so cliche, you know, light at the end of the tunnel and stuff, but I really did. I saw this and this, you know, there was like a figure walking in front of a light, and then the figure just stopped and then just kind of came toward me and stood there between me and the light. And it was just like this golden silhouette. And I was like, wow, is this, you know, is this my father? Maybe, you know, I felt like this incredible feeling of just euphoria and just being grateful that I decided to like try this ayahuasca. And it was really just a moving moment for me. And I remembered it. And I kind of tried to tap into that feeling and that experience in a lot of these songs, a lot of these different songs. I mean, Infinity, you know, definitely there's some psychedelic inspiration in that one. But yeah, man. So, but no, I'm really grateful that, you know, that song struck a chord, man. You know, it's a tough thing dealing with the loss of loved ones. You know, you want to believe that, you know, even though they're not here in the physical form, they're still around and they're still kind of keeping an eye on you. And that goes for me and my father, and I'm sure it goes for you and your father. You know, you want to believe that they're kind of, you know, watching over you, you know, and my dad never got a chance to really see, he saw me perform. He saw me, you know, kind of learn how to play guitar and just the formative years of me being a musician, but he never saw the concerts like this or Out with Breaking Benjamin or any of the stuff that, you know, I've accomplished, I guess, over the last 20 some years. So, so yeah, that's been tough, you know, I want to believe that he knows and
yeah,
so
the feeling's mutual. Yeah.
I'm glad that we're talking about this, because one of the things I wanted to discuss about the album Infinity Now is the kind of the themes and the messages throughout it. And it's really funny because I take pride in trying to come up with like original questions for these interviews. We do our research and we actually like sit and kind of nail these questions out the night before. Usually we've been asking some of our fans to give us assistance with questions. And one of our fans, Angie, had the same exact question as I did. So I was a little hurt, but that I wasn't so unique. the one thing I kind of wanted to say is, you know, I interpreted the first couple of songs, especially the single off the new album, that you're not really wanting to be attached. You're kind of looking for an escape, you know, something we can definitely all relate to. So I'm just kind of curious, and Angie is as well, what message are you hoping that people pick up on or take away from the album?
Yeah, I think that's an easy question to answer. I think that with the state of the world and the state of how just things are, social media, media itself, even music, I think there's just so many agendas that are just kind of shoved down our throats, and you know, we're expected to kind of acquiesce to just so many different things. And I feel like with my music, one of my main goal, not just with this album, but just my music in general, I just want to be a part of the escape from any kind of socioeconomic, geopolitical crap that's out there, anything, you know, that we're kind of like, you know, expected to just follow along blindly to. So, and even Strings specifically, it's like, you know, just freedom of thought. So yeah, that's it. I really want my music to be the escape from all the expectations and all the things. So yeah.
You can tell you're very much thematically like exploring these concepts of, I don't know, space and time and whatnot. Even just the titles of the album, this one and your first was This World or the Next. These kind of concepts of, I don't know, where we fit into this idea of eternity and
the universe,
and I know the shortness, or yeah, I don't, it's hard even to explain it, because it's just a wide thing to be exploring is really what it is. It's not necessarily here is the message I want you to accept from me.
It is pretty wide for sure. Right? Yeah.
The vastness of time and space and the exploration of where we are in it.
But you know, that's you know, that's stuff that you know, I think about, you know, I know it's out there. I know it is really out there. And I mean, and obviously I'm guilty of being a fan of, you know, sci-fi things. A lot of that stuff, you know, you think about like Star Wars and Star Trek and sci-fi, all that stuff. Like, how amazing would it be to just be able to explore different places mm-hmm. out in the universe, you know?
Yeah.
Maybe that's something that could happen in the future. And you always believe like, you know, man, humanity can evolve that far to accomplish such an amazing thing like that. You know, you hold out hope for that. But also, you know, I think about, you know, my life, what it is to exist, what it is to love and what is really important in this world and what's important to have and share with each other, you know? So I think about that stuff sometimes and you know, it's definitely inspiring to me. And again, I know we've kind of touched on this and it's kind of been the theme of this episode, if you will, but aging, you know, the older you get, you think about your mortality and more people that you know or knew pass away. And, yep. You think about that too. And it's such a hard thing to have something or someone in your life and for it to go away and for you to not have it anymore. It's very hard to deal with. And I wrestle with that constantly. But again, I try to hold out hope that there is some kind of granted, I know I sound wild sometimes,
no.
Shit, but you know, you hold out hope that there is some kind of energy transference.
Yes.
That you know, there is something that goes on and still is there. So I want to yeah. believe, I really want to believe that.
Yeah. Agreed.
I have one last really kind of off the wall question for you.
I mean, my answer's off the wall, so
and we got just a little bit of time, so I'll try to make it quick.
We got 4 minutes, so I don't want to don't want us to get cut off either.
But I was perusing the merch room on Shiprocked when I came across a shirt that looked like it was covered in Nickelodeon slime, but I realized there was actually writing on it. Yeah. After further examination, I did come to the conclusion it did say Keith Wallen on it.
Yeah.
Which I thought was hilarious to me that a non-metal band had the most metal shirt. So was it your decision to go with that font?
Hell yeah. That's awesome. Hell yeah.
That's fantastic. The answer I want.
Just because my music isn't per se exactly hitting the nail on the head for metal doesn't mean I don't have metal in my heart.
Exactly.
Yeah. There you go.
That's perfect.
Nice.
And perfect. Now in your name.
Yeah.
Exactly. Got to do the metal logo.
Yeah, it took a minute to figure out that was your name. I had to like sit there. I was like, because even my wife was like, "Who is that?" Sure, I was like, Keith Wallen. It's Keith Wallen. That's it."
Oh yeah.
You know, Keith, I would love to spend, you know, another entire interview talking just about these ideas of mortality and all these things. That this is the deep stuff that I love to talk about, and I'm always sad whenever we only get to kind of touch the surface of it, but. Alas, as time works, we are running out of it. And so we'll have to save that for another time. But at this particular moment in time, we're very excited for you with Infinity Now coming out, us getting to again hear and see some of those songs live in advance. So we're out here, you know, this album comes out in May and we're going to have this published a couple months before that. We're already going to be, you know, pushing for people to check that out. We appreciate what you do and the way that you're able to stay faithful to who you want to be, while also finding, like, you know, growing success overall with it.
Yeah.
Thank you so much. Yeah. I really appreciate you guys. You know, it's an interesting thing doing this whole solo thing, you know, they've got the Breaking Benjamin and, you know, I'm trying to kind of, still do that also. But, you know, find my own path with what I want to say. And I can't thank you guys enough for just giving me a platform here to talk about it and for just all the support, man. Seriously.
Absolutely.
Thank you. We appreciate Absolutely. It.
Yeah.
All right. We're going to wrap up here.
Yeah. So, yeah. Thank you very much for listening to the Itch podcast. My name is Dan.
I'm Casey.
And I'm Aaron.
And I'm Keith.
And until next time, living isn't living if I can't live free. You won't tie your strings on me.
Boom.
If you enjoyed what you heard in this episode, please subscribe and tell a friend about The Itch.
Check out the show notes for links about the episode, as well as our new music playlist and where you can hear us every Sunday night.
And you can interact with us at itchrocks.com or on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and Gmail, all at itchrocks, ITCHROCKS.
I just wrote out a fun little intro. Do one of you guys want to deliver it, or is it you want me to handle it?
Go for it.
Also, before we begin, I just want to say, guys, thank you so much for giving me the time and having me. I appreciate it.
Oh yeah,
thank you. The feeling's mutual. Yeah. Trust me.
Once we got the email noting that you had another album coming out, we're like, oh, we got to get Keith back on here. Then that's, I mean, the time is now.
Yeah.
So